Hello, I'm Ashley Thorne. Welcome to AM Thorne Conversations. This will be a place to listen to inspiring artists and creative types, discuss their passion, life as an entrepreneur, and overall finding happiness in the things you love doing. What is your relationship with food? Does it bring you joy and comfort? Maybe it brings about a feeling of nostalgia when you prepare something you used to eat as a child. Do you consider where you're getting your fruits and vegetables from or buy in season? In this second interview, I sit down with a self-taught chef, Waldy Reyes, about his passion for food and visual presentation. I had such a great time chatting with Waldy. He is not only a fantastic chef, but also a lovely person. To see notes and images on this episode, please visit amthornjewelry.com and click zine. You are in for a sweet treat. Hope you enjoy.
Thanks for having me here.
Thank you so much for coming.
On a rainy day. What better way to spend a rainy day than chatting on a podcast?
I know, and talking about food.
And food.
Okay, so I'll start with this question. At what point did you decide to say you wanted to start your own company?
I think it was like an overtime situation. Prior to starting my own catering company, I was working in fashion. I worked everywhere from PR to assisting a stylist to a fashion assistant in the magazine. And I just didn't really feel satisfied with what I was doing. And I always loved food, so food was a creative outlet for me to make things and cook food.
So let's backtrack for just a second, because I didn't mention this before, that you worked in fashion.
Yeah.
But I think that's kind of like a little bit important just to maybe talk about really quickly. So what was it that you did in the fashion industry?
What did I do in fashion?
Mm-hmm.
I kind of did a little bit of everything. When I first moved to New York, I was interning at a fashion PR company, and then after that I interned at a agency where they manage stylists, photographers, and then after that I went into interning at a magazine, and then that kind of like led me to like, oh, I think I want to work at a magazine, fashion magazine. So I did my first real job was being a fashion assistant at this small magazine, and I was miserable. I think if you see Devil Wears Prada, it's kind of like that, but 10 times worse. But I always liked being in fashion. I just liked the creativity of fashion. Just didn't necessarily wanted to be in it. I don't know. It's very hard to explain, but I think eventually it kind of like helped me guide me to where I am doing what I'm doing today.
Right.
I think building that sort of structure and hustling, and I also like training your eye to look at things differently helped to how I present my food, because everything at the end of the day, it has to look, you work so hard and make something so beautiful in the kitchen, and I want to transport it into how you kind of plate it and present it, and you eat with your eyes first, and then that's kind of like, oh my god, it looks so beautiful, and it's too pretty to eat, but it is really good to eat, and it's healthy, so I think that's fashion helped a lot of the ways what I'm doing today, and now I'm catering to my former colleagues and they're eating my food, they never, what? I never really knew you were a cook.
Right. When we first met through friends, through mutual friends, I don't think I knew that you had such a food background.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that you were in fashion.
Yeah.
And you just look like someone who's in fashion. But I did not know. So when we met several months ago, when we ran into each
mm-hmm.
other and you were telling me about your company, I was really surprised. But then when I started following you on Instagram, I was like totally blown away by your food presentation. And it makes total sense that you would apply some of the same like design principles to your food styling.
Yeah,
it definitely makes sense when you see it. But where does your love of food come from?
The love of food goes way back. I majored in college hotel restaurant management. And so there is a food aspect to it. Because like I was going to probably, after I graduated from college with that degree, I would probably work at a restaurant or something. But the love of food stems from my grandmother and my mother. And I don't think anyone knows this. I used to be a fat kid. So food was, to me, was like yummy. And I think being surrounded by my mom and my grandmother, especially my grandmother, who basically raised me, and she cooked everything where from like me being dropped off from the school bus and going to her house, and there would be food waiting for us from school, and everything she made was delicious, and I was so intrigued by it, so I would start helping her in the kitchen. And so all the traditional Filipino food that she made, I was kind of like, what is this? So I would help her glue the egg roll or, you know, pick off an herb from her garden. And I think that always stayed in with me. And then as I got older, I started to make my own food. And then I also had like a hate and love relationship with food. I got really big, and so at one point, like, I need to like lose weight, so I felt like the food was the enemy at this point.
Right.
So I had to teach myself a healthier way of eating. So I like, you know, kind of like looked to what other people were doing and tried to apply that as like a new type of way of eating. And then I think along the way I've like started to love food again by like making healthy food and cooking it yourself and cooking with real food, cooking a lot with a lot of vegetables. So that kind of like helped me or fell in love with food from a young age to where I am today with like, and especially with like the type of food that I make, it's all healthy just because I eat also really healthy things too. So, and I know what's healthy. I would think I know what's healthy because, you know, I gotta also maintain a slim figure.
Right.
But
you definitely are paving the way for what I feel like, even especially like in this country, we need like to see more like food
real
and its
food.
Beauty too,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah.
And I think that that's something that you do quite well. Visually, you just make the food look stunning.
Oh, thanks.
And it's because you're working or you're using a lot of vegetables and fruits, there's such beauty in just the structure of them,
right.
the way that they just look and their whole being, and it's beautiful. And I feel like that's a disconnect sometimes that maybe we're missing with food, is also just appreciating it for what it is,
yeah,
and how it looks.
Exactly. I'm not altering anything. I'm using it. 90% of the dish that I make, I keep it in its natural form. Like, I mean, I do, yes, grill, roast, bake. I'm just elevating the flavor. I don't manipulate it. I'm just I like to keep them whole. I like to keep it like honest and in its pure form. So the vegetables themselves are naturally beautiful because the color of the vegetables they are. So any vegetable or fruit that has a beautiful color, I want to use. If it's a new vegetable that I've never seen before, I'm like, what is this? But it's beautiful. It's gorgeous. I'm like, I want to use it. I'll figure out how it's going to taste like. So, I think like eating real food is healthy in itself already. So nothing is processed. Nothing's, altered. So the food itself is it's naturally beautiful. Like the real food, like, you know, it could be like from a tomato. It could be from, you know, the beautiful red tomato or the beautiful yellow squash. And I keep the skin on and everything that's where all the good fibers are from. So I like to elevate the natures that we have that's grown in farms. So I think that's very important for me. In this way, as well as, like, I think there's such a huge trend in terms of, like, eating real food, like, from farm to table. There's such a been, the last couple of years, or probably decades, there's such a transition in, like, eating healthy, real food. I think it's stems from the fact that, like, I think Michelle Obama has put it at the forefront, and now it becomes so trendy. So,
yes, and there's a whole bunch of restaurants now that I think are doing that as well, or at least like just kind of displaying where they're sourcing their produce from. And there's one restaurant that I really want to try. I think it's actually on a farm.
Oh, cool. Is it Blue Hill?
It's upstate, maybe.
Okay,
It's like actually on a farm.
Yeah, and I think it's probably it's Blue Hill. It's Stone Barn, at Stone Barn, which I haven't been there yet, but I really want to go. They have a restaurant in the city, but it's in, I think, Union Square. That's kind of like the owner or the chef, Dan Barber, who's kind of like pioneered the whole farm-to-table movement. What's a better way to like get something fresh from the farm, like from where you're growing, and straight into the kitchen and straight to the table. That's nothing fresher than that. And you actually taste the flavors right there and there. So, and also like sourcing, I also try to practice like sourcing a lot locally or what's in season. Right now, obviously, we're in New York. There's nothing really growing. Obviously, it's in the dead of winter. But I also follow like the seasonality of, because that's when it's like heightened. The flavors are there. I mean, you can't eat a tomato right now. Like, you can get a tomato in California, but like, I don't think like that's sustainable because it's like, so far away. And I am trying to also practice like local, organic or sustainable practices whenever possible. Obviously, like, you know, like, you can't get, like, fish from, like, all the way from, like, Sweden or some, you know, foreign country. That's because it's not really sustainable, but it's probably really good. But, like, I want to also support a local and it creates a community.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
So where do you, that's actually, I was curious to know, like, you know,
I
go to I can go to Whole Foods or I can go to my local grocery store, but I'm not finding
local.
Yeah.
It right now, obviously, it's really if it's like from what I kind of done was if it's in the East Coast, I think that's more local. Like if you're getting, you know, citrus from Florida, I think it's relatively closer than from California, where it's being like, you know, flown or like driven like 3,000 miles. But when spring, summer, and early fall comes, I try to use a lot of local farms as possible, because using local farms is also sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what I'm trying to do in the practice of my business. So where I can source locally is, I like that idea. I don't want to get something. I mean, I don't say I'm not getting limes from Mexico. Well, there are some things that you get from Mexico, but whenever possible, I want to use local as possible. And then if you go to Whole Foods, there are signs just like, oh, local, it will say where it's from. So I would gravitate towards more to there than, oh, from Mexico. No offense to Mexico, it's just like, oh, it's like it's near where I'm getting it.
I get it. So, okay, so going back to, okay, so you used to work in the fashion industry,
mm-hmm.
and then how did you leave that world and get into
food.
Starting, yeah, get into food? Let's start with that.
So, it took a while. I was working full-time corporate at this fashion brand, and then I decided that, like, I don't want to do this anymore, but I don't want to quit my job cold-heartedly, because I don't know what I'm doing yet. Like, I want to do something in food. So, I decided to work retail, back to retail store, and
like
I've
so
worked
many
for,
of us do.
Yeah, I've worked for that company for a really long time, so I was loyal to them, so they understood what I wanted to do. So they gave me a lot of flexibility. And knowing that you're working retail, I'm also working part-time while I figure out how I'm going to go into food. And while I was working at retail part-time, I started to cook privately for a designer. And I just cooked for just her and her husband, and just basically give them like weekly meals, and I would just go to them and say, oh, here's your meal. So that kind of also gave me practice
mm-hmm.
to what I wanted to do, and then it kind of led to catering backstage during Fashion Week, and it kind of like, from there, people started to notice, oh, wow, what's this food? Like, who makes this? And then that kind of, like, I've gotten more jobs from it. And also, like, I started to tell my friends that, like, oh, I'm cooking. And then they asked me to cater, like, wedding showers, baby shower, brunches. And it kind of, and then I presented the food really beautifully, and they were like, oh my god, this is amazing, who made it? And they would say, oh my god, it's my friend Woldies who made this. And then I think that kind of like word of mouth helped, and also I think social media kind of helped as well.
Mm-hmm.
And my friends who worked at fashion, they are either in PR, and they always have events, and they started to ask me to do cater some of their smaller events, and then that's kind of like build. And so I decided one day where like I am getting busier, I quit my part-time job working retail and then do my catering company full-time. It was a little scary in the beginning because, like, oh, crap, I don't have steady income coming in anymore. So, but now that, like, I'm getting busier, I'm just going to, like, I can't be in a store. And then also, like, I'm thinking, like, oh, my God, I need to go buy this ingredient from this grocery store, like, this from the farmer's market. So it kind of taken...
Right. I can completely relate because I've been in that exact position, and it is scary, especially for me, because I know some people say it's you have to have like this business plan and save
yeah.
like X amount of money of your rent so that you're
mm-hmm.
not struggling. And I was not ever in that exact position to do that ever.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've written business plans, but I think sometimes you just kind of have to like hit the ground running, so to speak. And I noticed it was the best thing I could ever do, was like kind of realize that as I need to dedicate more time to what it is that I love doing in order to see that kind of flourish and grow.
Yeah.
And it is a tough call to make, but once you do it and it frees up some of your time,
yeah.
like time is very valuable.
Yes.
And sometimes for me, even more valuable than working for someone else and getting a paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at the minute I started working for myself, it's amazing how I finally had the time.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, the more time I spend doing my business, magically it attracts more business.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
To be okay.
Yeah.
And it's not always going to be easy, and there's a
no.
period of probably some struggle. But as long as you can kind of keep your mental state high, which I think if you're doing something you love, it's easier to do that.
It is easier. Nothing ever comes easy.
Right.
Listen, I mean, if it was easy, everyone would be doing it. There's a lot of time and effort, and there's a lot of struggles and hurdles, and you're also at a learning curve when you're actually doing your own business. It's like, oh, I didn't know that I needed this. Like, I never had a business plan. I just knew that, like, I need to have money saved up to operate and do a business. I mean, you become a legitimate business, like becoming a corporation or LLC, that actually costs money.
Right.
And then for me, for food-wise, like, there's insurance involved, and I have to get food safety certification in the city of New York. So that also costs money. All things cost money. Like, in order to make money, you have to spend money.
Yeah.
But it costs a lot of money, and it's scary because you're not sure.
Is this going to work?
It's going to work. And then there are days where I have a meltdown. I'm like, is this really worth it? Like, am I really doing this? Like, why am I doing this? I'm like, why is it so hard? But you're in growing pains of your business. Like, you're going to make mistakes. Of course, I definitely made mistakes, and, like, expensive mistakes where I'm like, oh, crap, this cost me money. So, but in the end, it's very rewarding working for yourself. Like, you have this expectation of yourself, and you're only answering to yourself. And you're in control of how it's going to look, how it's going to be, how it's going to taste. And also what's rewarding is that the fact that, like, people appreciate the aesthetic that you put out on your social media or in your creative outlet, the fact that they enjoy the taste of the food, the best meal I've ever had, that alone to me is an instant gratification. And working in fashion wasn't that way. It was just a lot, it was a very different experience working there. But now that I think I have a purpose of what I'm doing, I'm providing food, I'm providing nourishment in some way. I don't know if that sounds very cliche, but, like, food is comforting, and either you appreciate or you don't, or you're just there to live, great. But, I think there's a joy in my food making or when I'm cooking, and there's also a joy in making it look really beautiful on a, you know, ceramic platter or a wooden board. It makes me really happy.
Yeah, I can't wait to try, actually.
Oh my god, you need to try it.
People
are like, oh my god, I've never tried before. Oh, really?
Yeah, I've never tried it. Now it's like, that's the next time we meet.
Yeah, totally.
We should
do, like, a tasting or something.
I would do that. Like, if I ever have an event, anything in my life.
It doesn't have to be
an event.
It can be just like, here, just come over to the kitchen. I had extra things.
That's what we're going to have to do, for sure. Do you have a philosophy on food?
I do have, I think, philosophy in food, it that food should be simple, wholesome, real, casual. Like, everything it shouldn't be intimidating. There are, you know, chefs or cooks that appreciate, you know, the molecular sides of food, but it seems not real, or it's just too out there. When if it's natural looking state, like, I like the fact that, like, the leaves are torn and you're eating it, and that you see the color of a vegetable and it's vibrant. And the way I serve it, it's more family style. It's casual. There's no intimidation. That's why, like, making it look really beautiful and bountiful and healthy is the key to a really delicious meal. So, yeah, really simple, casual, and satisfying is kind of, like, my philosophy in food.
I have to know this, the answer to this one question is, like, what is your favorite thing to cook for yourself or loved ones?
I'm really curious to know.
Do you have, like, a staple? I know for me, like, there's things that I know that I'm really good at, so that's what I usually go to, like, and it's usually something very simple, and
it could be really simple, or if there's something that I'm really, of the moment, there's a certain ingredient that, like, I need to be using all the time. Right now, this past fall, winter, I've been using this, particular squash called kombucha squash, which is a Japanese winter squash, and I've used it in grain bowls. I've used it in this breakfast type of pastry or cake that I make, which is a 5-spice kombucha squash bread with maple glaze, which I've made quite a bit for quite a few people, or especially my clients. It's because it's not too sweet. And there's a vegetable in it that's been pureed. So there's a whole process. Like, I enjoy it because, like, I'm peeling the skin off of this squash, I'm roasting it, and then I'm going to puree this squash, and then I'm also taking it to process of making some sort of cake or a loaf and decorating it with candied ginger and toasting it with some pumpkin seeds on top and putting some sort of maple glaze. It's right now been my favorite thing to do because, like, it's something comforting. There's Chinese 5-spice, which has, like, a little bit of cardamom, and then there's a little bit of, like, black pepper. So there's some warm notes to it, and then you're eating some sort of, like, really delicious pastry in your mouth, and then there's some salt sweetness. So that has been, like, my staple of the moment. It's really hard to say, like, in general, like, what I like to make, but right now it's been kombucha squash cake that I've been making for quite a bit. So
it sounds really lovely. Like,
yeah,
I'm salivating over here. Like, I want that.
I should have brought some and made some for you, but
next time, don't worry. Next time, it would be a really good excuse for us to meet up again. Do you have a favorite restaurant in Brooklyn?
I do.
Or in New York City in general?
There's this one restaurant that I love to go to if it's like a special occasion or, you know, on a random week or day. And it's near my boyfriend's studio in Greenpoint, and it's called Glasseray. And they make this killer, like, potato skin concoction, but it's very fancy. It's called a potato husk with fava bean puree. And I love, it's like a take on, potato skins with bacon bits, but, like, in a much more elevated. It comes in this brown paper bag where all the potato husks are, like, piping hot from the fryer. And then it comes with this bowl of silky fava bean puree with, there's, like, lemon preserve. And you scoop some of that fava bean puree and you put it onto the potato husk and you eat it. It's, like, creamy, crunchy, and it's so good. And their style of their food is what I try to do. It's, like, Mediterranean. And they also have this really great fry bread or griddle bread that they have. It's like crack for me. And having those three things at that restaurant is like my my indulgence. And if you're ever in the Greenpoint area, like Glasserie is so good.
I'm gonna have to put that on my list.
Yeah, you should. You should. You. It's like we'll change the world.
What about while traveling? Maybe not a favorite place, but
well,
or
there's
maybe,
this one. There's this one place over the summer. I went to Ibiza, and you know, Ibiza is a very international city, and surprisingly, there's like different types of food there, and I just like, I don't want to go where all the tourists go. I want to eat where the locals go. So I asked this car rental person where she eats, and she advised us where to go. And then there's just one particular place that was really amazing, or the whole day was amazing. So we basically drove to this beach, and there's this restaurant next to it, and they make this best paella ever. Obviously, Ibiza is like in the country of Spain, so paella is obviously the national dish of Spain. So it was fresh seafood, really crispy and chewy rice, and I can't remember the name, but like, hey, it was so damn good. Like, we also drank a lot of wine, and then having that amazing paella by the beach, and then eating that was just amazing. I can't remember the name, but
that's
okay. If you're in Ibiza, in one of those, I mean, you, any beach that you go in Ibiza, or if you're going to Spain, always have the paella. So yeah, that was amazing.
And then I'm going to end with asking you what makes you the most happy in life. This is the question I'm asking everybody at the end of the podcast.
Mm.
So
what makes me happy in life?
Mm-hmm.
I think it would probably be like I work so hard on making something really delicious and giving it to someone and they eat it and they said this is life-changing, or not really life-changing, but the most delicious thing I ever made. It makes me happy. I seem very humble from the outside, but like in the inside there's just those little tingling things that you get. I'm like, oh yeah, I know, so I am doing something right and I'm making really yummy food and that people actually, you know, appreciate it. So, yeah, it makes me really happy in the inside.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you for having me here.
Thank you so much for coming and having this great conversation.
Thank you.
I can't wait to try your food now.
Yes. Maybe we can whip up something in the kitchen. I don't know.
I'm kidding. Okay. All right. Thank you.
That was fun.